This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 661 with guest Gavin Campbell, recorded on October 30th, 2025. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a getting chilly. We had massive fog this morning and cold weather here in Bellevue, Nebraska. Of course, we'll post the show with some more plus show notes out here at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. If you're on that team, you can check that out, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And also for those of you using the affiliate link over there at theaverageguy.tv, you can just click through on that. If you want to do that, that's fine as well. Gavin Campbell is hanging out with me tonight. Gavin, I haven't seen you in a little bit of time. It's somewhere in there. The Blue Jays went to the World Series. What the heck? What's going on? Are you guys on fire there in Toronto? What's happening?
Yeah. Awesome. You know what? We've been, the Jays have been hot since, I think it was about April when they started to pick it up. You know, at the beginning of the year, nobody really thought they would be here. Right. And then April, they started to pick it up and we're like, okay, they have a little streak going. And then by like September, you're like, I can't believe what we've done. You know, it's like we may go all the way. You know, it's like you're hoping, but there's the doubt in you. And now they're in the World Series in the lead.
I'm surprised we're not making, you know, with all the trade talks between Canada and the United States, I'm surprised there isn't a little World Series. Listen, I'm a Giants fan. I'm all for you guys whooping on the Dodgers. So get it done. you get out there. Get it done. Crush them as miserably as possible. I'm okay with that. And I grew up in the Bay Area, so I'm a Giants fan. I think you got a good chance. Good news is they're not playing tonight, right? Next game is, and they're at home? You guys are at home?
Yeah, they're in Toronto Friday and Saturday. Yep.
Right. Next two. And this will decide it one way or another, right?
Yeah.
And well, good luck. We're pulling for the Jays. And we have the Blue Jays here in Nebraska as well, right? Creighton Blue Jays here in town. So what to say? They belong to Omaha as well. How are you, man? How are things?
Everything's good. You know, it's now, like we already talked about going from summer into fall into winter. Yeah. So everything's winding down. You're bringing everything from the yards. You're, you know, getting ready for the cold and to hibernate soon.
Yeah. Not in the notes, but you got a new mower, right? You did a robot lawnmower. It was the Segway.
Yeah, this is my first year with the Segway Navimo. I love it. You know, the grass has never looked better. I just did my backyard for this year as a test, and it's been looking great. Just the fact that it goes out and just trims a little bit every time it goes out, and then it goes back, and it hasn't failed me once.
Not gotten stuck.
Nope. My backyard area is actually pretty flat, not much for it to get stuck on, and it handled it like a champ. I replaced the wheels, actually. In my front yard, I had some obstacles.
First year, you replaced the wheels?
Oh, yeah. Like, I wanted to pimp this. I wanted to put googly eyes on it and stuff like that. But I put, like, heavier duty wheels on it.
Okay.
Right?
Like, okay. Didn't have to.
You didn't have to, but I wanted to try them out on the incline in my front yard to see how it would handle it. And while the wheels do help it navigate a lot more, it still struggles on the incline a bit, mainly because that incline, a lot of the grass died off while we're doing construction. So when the grass grows back in, I think it will be fine. Okay. But okay. I have gotten word they will be coming out with some new ones that are going to be that people are raving about. And we will probably see them at CES.
Okay. Like Segway in particular, or just
the Segways,
across the industry? Okay.
Across the industry, I think you're going to be seeing a lot more than the LiDAR models. And I think the Segway is coming with their brand, but people are really raving about how good it looks. And,
We're still a couple years away. I mean, what I'm seeing is a shift from the Roomba style light to like blades. No more of these, you know, razor blades at the bottom. Not full, but let's just say like
half a blade, you know,
eight or 10 inch blades on the bottom, maybe two. A LiDAR, of course, is becoming real popular in there. And then tracks, like heavier and able to take hills better, is kind of what I'm seeing. Now, the price is certainly, you know, I shouldn't say that. Husqvarna, when we first started talking about robot lawnmowers, they were $3,500.
Yes.
Right. The Yarbo, which is where I set all the ridiculous standards by, like Yarbo's $6,000 for their snowblower and the mower, which I don't know, maybe it's bad. Maybe it's good. I don't know. But I'm seeing a tendency, bigger, stronger, bigger batteries, more expensive.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm seeing. You think it's the same?
Yeah, I think it will start off as that, and then I think the prices will start to drop as others, like, that's how it usually goes, right? Yeah, so they come out with they'll first come out with the more expensive with all the frills and everything, right, and then you'll see the prices as competition releases their models. Prices will start to drop, or as newer models come out, and I think we'll quickly reach probably in the next year, you know, the point where it's like, all right, we got this figured out now. Now they're just adding these bells and whistles to it. Yeah. So you may see it come with something like they'll start releasing side trimmers or, you know, like cedars or, yeah, you know, attachments like that to it. And we'll start seeing it go that way.
What's it when you poke the holes in the ground?
Aeration.
Aeration.
Yeah.
Show up. There'll be a little roller. It'll just go out there and roll that in for you. Would be super cool is if all the attachments had their own garage too. So you could program it to be like, hey, go out, pick up, you know, out of your garage, pick up the attachment, right? It'd lock in. Go do your thing, then you're charging, and then I want you to go out and maybe do some aeration, or I want you to do some seeding, some overseeding in this area or something like that. That's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty ridiculous. But we are in the spot, you know, you can probably get the average mower is probably $800, $900. And then for the really good ones coming, they're in the $2,000 and $3,000 range is kind of what I've been seeing. So, well, good. Good. I'm glad it worked out for you this year. What do you think the life expectancy on that thing? Just as you got a year into it, what do you expect to get out of that thing?
I expect probably a 5 years out of it. I'm most nervous about the battery, probably, right? Because now that it's winter and you got to put it into like hibernation, I probably have to store it inside or else, you know, it's going to hurt the battery. And then they also suggest every like 120 days, plug it back in and just charge it, top it off, and then take it off. I wish, you know, I could take out the battery and just put like a trickle charger on it and just leave it like that and let it, you know, maintain the battery over the season or something like that. It would be nice.
You
know,
you could get one of those plugs that are smart plug.
Yeah,
and they have schedules on them, and so you could plug that in and then set the schedule for 120 days. That's a long time. I mean, it's almost all winter. So,
well, they said every 120 days, you know, plug it in, let charge up, and then let it out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I might do
once a month or something. Yeah. Just set it to turn on, charge it back up for, you know, it'll for a day, and then turn that thing off. And it'll give you good. Yeah, there you go. So. Charge it over the winter. We'd have to pull them into like Nebraska's. We get colder. Whoops, there went my video for a second. We actually get a little bit colder than you do. Did my audio change when that flipped over?
No, I still hear you.
Still fine. Hearing me? Okay.
Yep.
Good. You know, it's the end of the year. You know, you always kind of wonder. You get those. You run them a season, and then you kind of go. I mean, it's easy. The first couple mows are like, this is great. And then when you get to like the end of the year, are you still saying this is kind of great? And you're saying that. So good. Good stuff. You had mentioned a little bit, I hadn't seen these yet, but the new Echo Dot Max, right? Their new smart speaker from the A lady. I won't say the name. So it kicks it off. Gavin, I'll be honest with you. I haven't bought a smart device like that in a while. We put those Amazon devices in bedrooms that had clocks on them like 2 years ago, but those were great. We hadn't bought anything. You know, I still had the cylinder tube from the original version, the new Echo Dot Max, about $100, right? To upgrade. Yeah. Is it worth the upgrade? Do you think? I mean, are we to a spot as a, that hardware is notoriously bad, right?
But. Yeah, it's, you know what? Honestly, I like it. It is a bit expensive. That's one of the cons. So you really have to want it. And that's the cheap end of their newer devices, I think. The other ones were a little more expensive. But in terms of quality, like, it feels great in my hand. Like, I know you don't hold these often, but you do tap the top of it. But I love the build quality, the feel. I think it's the first Dot that has two speakers in it. It actually has the tweeter separate, so that's good. So the sound quality is amazing. Like, it's better than all my other ones I had. Right. I mean, I think I skipped one generation, the previous generation to this, but I do have a lot of the other ones. So I like the sound quality of it. It actually comes with sensors built in. So there's a temperature sensor built into this. There's also a ultrasound motion sensor for detecting like presence in the room. It also has Wi-Fi sensing. So I have to find out more details on that. I only just got this yesterday. I've been playing with it. Okay. But that's good. I mean, it offers tap gestures, so you can tap the top of it to pause, play your music and stuff like that if you want. Yeah. The hidden stuff, like, I mean, it has Zigbee, Matter, and Thread built in. So really? in terms of your smart home, this could be like one of your, you know, Matter controllers or Zigbee controllers. You can add devices to it and use the app to control them. So that's pretty good. One thing that shocked me is it works as an Eero Wi-Fi extender. Really? Right? So if you're in the Eero ecosystem, this will just extend that Wi-Fi a little bit more for you. Right? Wow. So I don't have Eero anymore. So I don't use it. So I hope they actually turn off the antenna so it doesn't interfere with other stuff in my house. Right. But that was actually cool to see. The one thing I wish it had the line in, that's one thing I wish it had, so I could use it as like my computer speakers and you could set up like a stereo pair, and stuff like that. But it is much faster than the previous ones. Right.
Well, and it's anything would be.
And it's built for the new Alexa Plus. Yeah. Cancel. Of course, I knew I was going to do it once. It's built for the new Madam 8 Plus service, which in Canada, I don't have it yet. I know they're doing trials in Canada. Yeah. In the U.S., they've been rolling it out slowly.
Yep, we have it.
You got it? Oh, I'm so jealous. What are your thoughts? Have you played with it at all? Or
yeah, a little bit. You know, the voice changes, and then it's just a little smarter. I kind of wonder, when I say smarter, you know, you're able to do multiple commands without re-invoking it.
Yes.
And then it's offering you a bunch of if this, then that kind of scenario, so you can kind of start doing some of those kinds of things. The new voice, I feel like I'm cheating on the old voice. You know, you're kind of like, hey, where'd my old girlfriend go? Like, she just got replaced. And all of a sudden, the new voice, a little sassy, like, you know, like much sassier than the old one was kind of just, you know, you're hearing it now.
Yes.
The new one's a little sassy. And so you're kind of like, huh, okay, well, that's interesting. We haven't used it. You know, we still continue to use it for the things we use most of the time, which is music, timers, looking things up, asking it questions about facts, right? Kind of whatever kind of thing. I haven't really taken advantage of the really smart stuff that comes with it. But like, I have older, I have older hardware, and I just feel like the older hardware is struggling with this, you know?
So, yeah, and that's why the new ones are built for it, because it has more powerful processors, it handles it a lot better.
I think they're going to want to push some of that to the endpoint. You know, some of the processing they're going to want to push out to the endpoint.
To the edge,
you know, we always go back and forth whenever we do this kind of stuff. You know, we spent 30 years going to the edge, coming back, client server, going to the edge, bringing it back, going to the edge, bringing it back, and I think we're at least in this ecosystem. We're kind of back to trying to get as much processing going locally, which is a little scary because I think it's listening a little more than it did before. I think it's really listening a lot. Like, it's listening to everything. And because I'm starting to see a lot more ads. I mean, this is the crazy thing. Now, some of that is I've been doing more shopping on Amazon. And so, of course, that's all tied together. I still can't figure out, like, it gives me ads for things I just bought.
Yes.
Like, I just bought that. You should know that, right? Kind of deal. So is the sound significantly better? I mean, since it's stereo, is it true stereo in out of that thing, or is it just two speakers? Oh, you got a tweeter and a bass. Is that
it's a single speaker, but you can pair it with a second one and get stereo sound. Yeah. So if you really wanted to, yes.
Yeah. And a sub too. That, and I think Fire TV is coming up as well. So you'll be able to pair those with the Fire TV and make the sound. That's, it's kind of what I do today. You know, I have a Bose, what do we call this thing? It is a, it should have the name. I can't read it, but it's one of these, right? It's a, it's a really well designed. I've dropped it 1,000 times and you can't, and it holds up really, really well. Good sound. Battery life is amazing. I pair it with the TVs. I have a Fire TV outside. Perfect to take it out on the deck, bring this along with it, put it in there. I ironically, it's better. I plug it in. So for the TV, it's better if you plug it in than if you try to do Bluetooth sound on that thing. Yes,
because the line in less delay.
Yeah, and it's just more reliable for whatever reason. Like I just more reliable. Do you think you're gonna get any? You got one. You gonna get any more?
I have too many in my house probably now, so I'll see if my sister wants some. I think my decision will be based around the Plus service. Okay. So when I finally get, because it will be awkward in the house if that only works on like one speaker and the older ones are different.
You'll get it on all the old ones.
Okay. So as long as it will work on all of them, I'll be fine then. Yeah. I might not.
Gavin, what was weird about it is it rolled out to us is it didn't necessarily replace everything right away. So we would still hear the old girlfriend.
Yes.
Before, like, she was still there for some things. And then the new girlfriend showed up and you're like, oh, okay, that's different. And it seems like it's being like different services are being replaced over time. Yeah. And so Dan Lefebvre out in chat says, he says, I think I'm still running Gen 1 Google Home speaker. I think I have one or two of those too. They're turned off. They still work. They still work for very little that I use them for. So I haven't really needed to update them. And yeah, those, I've got a couple old Google ones. You still have any others?
I have an old Google one, but I never use it. But I know Google also released some major updates in integrated Gemini into their smart home stuff. So, you know, I don't know if the Gen 1 can work with that. But, I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. For the most part, you're just doing basic stuff on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, like, we've talked about Home Assistant a bunch when you're on. Is there any integration? Like, I would love for... I guess this would work, right? But there's a voice integration as part of Home Assistant, right? And but it doesn't seem like, I mean, I guess I don't feel like the Echo device is necessarily, you can it's its own ecosystem, right? But I'd kind of like it to show up in just Home Assistant and be that front end for Home Assistant as I set it up in Home Assistant and not have to set up all that stuff again in the Alexa app. Am I asking for too much, do you think, on that?
No. So you can export all your the devices you want to the Amazon ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
And they do show up in there. But I know what you're saying is you want them to show up in their proper rooms and stuff.
For sure.
One thing I did notice is I don't know how it determines it, if it determines it off of like the name of the device. But if I add like my office light, it will sometimes say to me like new device added. Oh, we think this is part of the office. Do you want to add it to the office? Or it will automatically add it to the proper room. So I think they added that smarts in there, but I'd like a way to control it. So like when I say, okay, expose this entity to the Amazon ecosystem and it's in this room, you know, copy over the room that it's in too. I'd like them to be able to do that. I don't want to reset up stuff like you.
Well, do you find also, okay, so it's not just Home Assistant in the you know, the Amazon ecosystem. You've also got this ecosystem that's built by whoever built it. So I might have a Casa or TP-Link or Tapo or whatever they are this week. Yeah. Seems like those guys have been about 8,000 different things. And then, I might have some Lutron devices in there. Do you find, like, you're right, some of the room settings, like I call this area down here the studio, so I try to name it fairly consistent across all rooms, but sometimes you get in those weird situations where it's a little different, doesn't see it, it's not compatible along those. Then you're adding Zigbee and Z-Wave stuff into it as well. And then the other day, what was it? Oh, the garage door closed. It was 10 o'clock. It was exactly 10 o'clock. And we were both upstairs. And Sarah goes, I hear the garage door closing. And I was like, you know, so you listen, you're like, yeah. She goes, did you close it? I'm like, no. And I was like, I think I have a routine for that. Like I had gone out. So first you pick up the phone. I go to ring. I'm looking for people. I have a neighbor who probably would have come in the garage, hit the button for me, and then ran out of the garage to like shut the garage door for me. That's the kind of neighbors I have. But so I started trying to find the routine for that. Like, I'm like, oh, well, it's exactly 10 o'clock. So maybe I have a routine somewhere that shuts the garage door. If it's open, shuts it. So I checked the Miros. I have a Miros for the garage. Can't find it. I go to Amazon, can't find it. Go to Home Assistant, can't find it. Like I'm trying to figure out all these things. Finally, I go back into the mirrors. It is buried so, the routine is buried so deep in there, I couldn't find it. There is a little bit of that, what do they call it? Routine, you know, obscurity, right?
Yes. You're like,
where did I schedule that? My Christmas lights every year. I'm like, where are those things again? So, it gets a little, we talk about this all the time, but it still is hard, right? I don't, every year we get to this and it's still hard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I use Home Assistant. I add all my devices go through Home Assistant, all my routines, everything. And that's my central thing. I'm just using the A-Lady as the voice interface.
Yeah.
And I do have the Home Assistant voice preview edition device, right? I did get one of those to play with. And the difference is it comes down to like the hardware. In this stuff, like it hears you better. It hears you when there's noise in the background, stuff like that. Where with the Home Assistant one, if something was playing on the TV, I can't use it at all, right? So there's differences.
You talk about noise. I bought for a couple of shows before. I've been talking about those AirPods, the AirPods Pro 3 that I bought. Yes. I've been doing translation stuff with them. Today, I was trying to watch a translated video. So the video was in Portuguese, but there was music. So it was voice with music.
not
going to happen. So it was one of those kinds of things. You're like, oh gosh, well, I guess it's really anticipating a super quiet environment. And certainly the other issue we have that I'm sure you have is a couple times I've started music and it started on the device across the house. Like somehow the device all the way on the other side of the house heard me before the one in the kitchen did. And you're like, come on. The kitchen's got the 5-inch screen, which we really like.
Yes.
And then, you know, behind me here are the 3-inch screens. I have one in my room with a 3-inch screen. Then we've got a few with the clocks embedded in them. We've kind of gotten rid of the really old ones, but I think I've got one in the garage. That's just a sensor. So it's a sensor with voice on it. I forget what it's called. So when you walk into the garage, it turns on the lights, those kinds of things. That the device you have, the Max, that does all those things, right? It's kind of all of that built-in.
Yes. One. Is
that
right?
Yeah.
It has the motion sensor, Wi-Fi sensing, and temperature sensor. So
yeah. You just had it a couple of days. Be interested to see how that motion sensor does.
Yes.
Because you don't see it, right? It's somewhere on there, but. Typically, you got the little bubble for the motion sensor, right, of some kind. Is there a bubble on there somewhere where
I don't see any sort of bubble? I think it's millimeter wave sensor, though, so it's a little smaller. You're not going to have that bubble. It's probably built into the pad here somewhere or something.
Joe said, he said when he got his Tesla from the previous owner, had my Q account, was still linked. I opened and closed the garage door once before it was impaired. It hard to believe you wouldn't think that before for trading it, right?
Yes.
You trade that in, you got to delete that stuff. You know, I've got a treadmill that has Wi-Fi it has Wi-Fi sensor on there so that you can do all these things with it. And you're like, yeah, if I give that treadmill away, I better go in there and wipe out all that Wi-Fi stuff.
Yeah.
Now is somebody going to put that in the back of a truck and drive by my house and connect to my Wi-Fi and use it? I don't. I think it's probably changed by then. But
it's like when you travel, you have a rental car, you get into the rental car, and everyone's paired their phones and their address books are there. I've seen that. Or a lot of times you go to hotels or stuff, and they would have like the Netflix app, and people have logged into it and left their account there. So I just use their account. So
you screw up all their preferences.
Yeah. I watch some obscure stuff. I'm like, let me just play this one and mess with them. You were previously watching.
I'm gonna go watch a whole bunch of anime.
Yeah, just
get in there, and man, they'll never be able to not get recommended for anime.
But always reset and always log out.
Yeah, for sure. Next week, Uyghur's on. I have Aaron and Uyghur coming back. You've Unraid, as we always talk about Unraid when Uyghur's on for whatever reason. I'm on Unraid 7.1.4. 0.2 is out, right? 7.2 is out.
Yes.
Do I make the upgrade on this thing yet? I mean, I've always kind of waited till the 0.1 release on those things, 7.2.1. But is it worth the upgrade if I'm running Unraid at this point?
Yeah, it's worth the upgrade. It literally came out like yesterday. So
yeah,
as soon as I woke up this morning, I just hit upgrade. The one thing you're going to notice is accessing the interface from your mobile phone is going to be way better now. It's a responsive interface. So like it will resize properly for your screen and everything, where in the past, the previous version, it was near impossible to use from your phone. Right now it's so much better. That to me is worth the upgrade.
What is the interface very similar to what you see on a big screen? Have they optimized it for? There's a lot.
Yes,
it's got a ton of information on it.
Yeah, it shifts around for your screen. So I mean, it would move some tiles and go a little bit more vertical. But it will resize so you can see things properly and interact with the various things properly. Okay. So it's really good interface now.
And that's just a web interface, right? There's no app for that at this point. There's no app. So you go in and put the, if I'm on the network, I'm going to do the same thing that I would do for a PC on the network
to
interface with it.
However, one of the other features is they have built in a new API into it. And with this API, I'm seeing apps being worked on. So you'll have an iPhone app where, wherever you are, you can connect to your server now and do whatever you need to do. So I am seeing apps working on. I think I had one installed. I just couldn't never get to work with 7.1.4. So now that 7.2 is out, I'm going to play with it again.
Okay. All right. Well, so worth checking out anyway.
For sure.
So if I upgrade from 7.1 to 7.2, does the web interface, I'm assuming I'm going to get a faster web interface as well if I've got it, because I always have it up on a monitor and a PC.
Yeah.
Is that changing much for me? Am I going to expect to see something different?
The interface is going to look all the same. Like it all pretty much looks the same. But what I did notice is that the resources on the CPU dropped on my server.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, and I've seen other people report this saying it runs a little more efficiently. So that could be an update, or it could be something that got updated underneath it all that helped with that. So it's more efficient, it seems.
Do they resources? Oh, do you go to the dashboard most of the time or do you go to the? I go between dashboard and main for whatever reason when I'm monitoring this thing. Would you prefer either one? What do you? I mean, the dashboard certainly. I like to leave these things up. They kind of look cool. Like from a dashboard perspective, I think Unraid's got a super cool looking dashboard. I've got it above the Home Assistant dashboard in this. I'm running a Surface Pro, so I got touchscreen for Home Assistant, and then I've got the Unraid and the Open Media Server tabs where I can flip between those two. Which of those, like, what do you like to look at in the Unraid?
I'll be honest, I like the dashboard more, and the main reason is because I have the processor box expanded, because in my server I have 24 cores, which is like 48 threads. So it looks really nice when things are happening. You're just like, look at that power, But like
a Christmas tree.
Yeah, and just by looking at it, I know what's assigned it to what I have assigned to what cores, so I can say, oh, that VM's kicking up right now. Something must be going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they've kind of nailed, I think they've nailed the dashboard. Like, they're doing a really nice job. The Open Media Server, which is a new project, new-ish, so to speak, or Open Media Vault is what it's called. A new project, open source, based on Linux. Pretty cool dashboard all on its own. But I love to impress people. When I'm working from home, it's in the monitor behind me. It's like right over my right shoulder, and I've got these things. Of course, it's refreshing all the time, and there's stuff moving on with it. And so it looks, you get that wow factor, right, on it as well. Okay. So, I still may wait. I don't know. I'll probably upgrade to be who am I kidding? I'm probably going to update it right after the show is over here just to see there. Do you think their updates have been pretty good over the last couple of years, right? They seem to have their game together there at Unraid. Do you think?
Yeah, they do, but you still gotta read the release notes. Just because they'll have some things that may catch you. In my update, it was pretty smooth, but one of my shares stopped being accessible. Right, okay. For some reason, it wasn't being. You couldn't connect to it over SMB anymore, and it had an error. Case insensitive share name is not unique. And then just a quick search in their forum, I found somebody else have the same issue. They said how to fix it. I ended up fixing it. Great. That was done. But just, you know, you got to keep an eye on some of these things. I have two NVIDIA cards in here. I have a Tesla P4 and a Tesla T4. You know, one's used for my AI stuff and one's used for all the transcoding and stuff. And one of them stopped showing up. So I don't know what happened, but I just ended up doing an uninstall the driver, reboot the NVIDIA, you know, the server, reinstall the NVIDIA driver, and it all came back. So it was smooth, but I ran into those little hiccups, but they were quick fixes. They weren't too tough.
2 weeks ago, I talked about running local LLMs. We're going to talk about with you here in just a second. The other day, I hadn't listened to this podcast in a while, but I was listening to Entertainment 2.0, right, with Josh and Richard.
Richard, yep.
And John Biggs was on, and John was talking about his home entertainment center, right? HTPC is not a thing we really even talk about anymore, but you're still keeping one around. Play the part of John Biggs here. What are you using from an entertainment center perspective? What are you using?
So like... If you listen to that show, I got a shout out on that. You know, they made a call out this as I'm probably one of the few people to use all the buttons on the Harmony remotes, right? But it's true. I love my Harmony remotes, but in my entertainment system, it's basically just I use Windows 11 Dell micro PCs. Right. Okay. So they're just the little one, I guess the 1 liter form factor that they call it. And they're all hidden behind the TVs and everything like that. And my front end is all Kodi. Right. And the reason I still use Kodi as my front end is because of how customizable it is. Right. So I'll get into that in a bit. But then my back end on it, I use MB. And MB does all the transcoding It does all the indexing, etc. of the media. Right. So there's a plugin for Kodi that then lets it sync with the MB as the back end. And I have this across five TVs in my house. Right. So my main goal when setting this all up is I wanted the same experience across all the TVs, you know, so that you can go to any TV and be able to use it easily. I didn't want to make it hard, want to make it easy. It had to be integrated into my home assistant, et cetera, right? So I just recently went and upgraded all my HTPCs because I needed the newer Dell one so I could put Windows 11 on it. They were all Windows 10. But with that upgrade, I also got H.265 decoding and stuff like that. So I can now, you know, re-encode my videos, save space, et cetera, et cetera. My main TV, I had to upgrade the port on it so I can get UHD and Dolby Vision. So all that works. That's the only TV in my house that handles that stuff. But now it handles all it nicely and stuff. So the Harmony remotes, they're not all the same remotes, but they're all work the same way. So I've programmed all the buttons so they're very similar, right? And the wife goes to them and she can use it. It works the same way on every TV and she loves it. She uses it all the time. I mean, she turns on the TV, you see your profiles, you click on your profile, your media's there, you know? So we don't have to worry, oh, that's her show or my, I don't see her shows. You know, we have shows we share, but sometimes we watch them off, you know, so she'll be ahead. Mm-hmm. My watch status stays, so I know where I am. Mm-hmm. I've integrated things like YouTube. All my YouTube subscriptions automatically get downloaded and presented in its own little menu, right? So on YouTube, if I like someone's channel, I just hit subscribe, and now it's automatically syncing to my TVs, and I watch them when I'm in front of one of my TVs, right? So there's a lot of cool features with my setup, but it's not easy.
Well, I mean, it's easy. You find, you know, you got some wife acceptance factor that you can use those. What are you going to do when those remotes die?
I'm constantly keeping my eye on the remotes, and I know Sofa Baton, I know they just announced, is it their X3, their brand new remote, which is honestly is closer to being a Harmony replacement. It has a lot of the stuff that you are looking for in that. Their previous remotes were letdowns. I'll be honest. They were letdowns. Their new one though is looking so much good. So if I have to replace the Harmonies altogether right now, I'm looking at those. They're still a little more expensive than I really wanted to, but they're like, you know, maybe $250 or $300. I can't remember what the pre-order price was, but they had they were saying all the right things. Yeah. Right. So I'm looking at those. In the meantime, I have backup Harmony remotes. So in the basement, I have two backup hard. I got them free, so I mean they're in the box. They're in the basement. So if one of them happens to die, then I could just pull out one of the backups and reprogram.
Yeah. Do you think we could live in a world where AI just takes over those remote functions for the most part? You know, I mean, you're just basically talking to the TV, getting what you want from an AI perspective.
We kind of are there now, because when you look at like the cable companies in there, I don't know in the States what it is, but up here we have Rogers and Bell, and you can hold the button and talk to it and say change it to this channel, or you could say, you know, turn on the baseball game, right? And it will show you all the baseball games. You could select the one you want, etc. We're kind of there. I don't think it's fully AI yet. I think it's still more prompted in a way. But it is looking good, and I want to get there. I want to just turn on the TV and say, I feel like watching this, you know? And I think with the Amazon new devices, their new Fire TVs and stuff, I think they're getting to that too.
Yeah, yeah. I watch so much YouTube. I think 99% of my viewing right now is YouTube. It's a keyboard and mouse experience. Like I guess I could do it that way. I'm locked into subscriptions in the YouTube platform. I use it like a DVR. And from that standpoint, right, I stream everything. I don't keep anything local for the most part anymore. So it is kind of interesting, you know, to think through, like, my use case isn't necessarily strong for AI. It wouldn't even be strong for a remote because, you know, I'm sitting down here at my desk. I have a Windows PC that I use for YouTube. I'm using a Brave browser, so I have no commercials to deal with for the most part.
Yes.
They block all those. And it's a pretty great experience. I've taken the Fire remote and fired up the voice assistant and done some things that way. But I'm just kind of wondering, you know, AI's getting smarter, if that may be something. Your remote situations, you're asking it to do some fairly complex things, right?
And yeah,
maybe the AI takes some of that stuff over for you.
Yeah, so there's Dockers you can run on Unraid that will automatically download your sync content, your subscribe content, and format it in a way that it can be picked up by Plex as in its own library, or MB in my case in its own library, and that's how I do it.
Yeah, well, and I'm a channels guy, so I can
which do looks their good too. their mean, new that, update.
I mean, there's some good. It just works, right? It just works. Skrit, I think is maybe how we pronounce it. He says, let me read it from here. any chance that Ubiquiti will wake up to the fact that they hinder their NAS sales by not providing processing for Dockers and other services? You just mentioned Dockers. Do you have any thoughts on that? I haven't worked in on those platforms at all. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think they will get there. They have a lot. They have a lot of things going on at once, and it's step by step. So they just released some UPSs. I think they just released some new NASs. And they're inviting to everybody from the enterprise down to the home user, right? Because some of them could just sit on your desk and they're not necessarily rack mounted. I was thinking the same thing. Is like, the only reason I wouldn't run one of these is because they can't run Dockers or they can't run VMs. But this is like where Unraid, the power of Unraid comes into, because I think if anything came from Ubiquiti in terms of running Dockers, you'd probably be locked into that hardware in terms of you won't be able to upgrade the CPU on it. Probably you'd have to buy a more powerful one. You know, you may be able to do memory. You might not be able to add video cards that you can work with your Docker, stuff like that. And that's why I have like a Dell server that I can bump up the specs as needed. Right.
Yeah. No, unless you bought the minis and then you're kind of locked in, right, on some of those kind of things. Kind of. Not always. Oftentimes, even in those spaces, there's extra ports if you want to put more memory. I'll be honest. The best thing I ever did was when I built this PC, I just maxed out the RAM to 128 gig. I put a 3060 in it. That was a couple years ago, so it's aging now, but it's still fine for some of the stuff that I'm doing. But if I wanted to go to a 50 series or if I wanted to upgrade to a 40 series, I could do that fairly easily. I'm not going to get any more RAM in there, right, at this point. The other day, Gavin, my work computer, it was like, man, this thing's running kind of slow. And I pulled up the resource monitor, which I haven't done on a work computer in 1,000 years, right? And I have 16 gig of RAM, which, you know, just a couple of years ago was okay. It was maxed out. I mean, I was pegging I was using all the RAM at this point. I'm like, oh boy.
The problem there's a big problem in the work environment right now, I find, because I work in this side of things, right? I'm in the IT in a corporate environment, and you're getting client overload on your PCs. So we've gotten to the point where we're installing all these little clients to monitor and secure your machine and do all these things in the background, and they're taking up a lot more memory than they thought, and it's pegging the CPU, and we're running into that now.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, I mean, we're using a ton of AI at Gallup. Like, they encourage it. We're one of those organizations where they're like, if you need it, you don't have to justify it. Just ask. I mean, and they're monitoring it. I imagine at some point, you know, this AI bubble's not going to last forever. And eventually we're going to have to start paying the price for AI, right? Today, it's free or nearly free for most people. I am kind of finding, and I'm kind of wondering if those AI, ChatGPT, Copilot, if they're not pushing some of that to the edge, like we're talking a little bit earlier, and consuming large amounts. These browsers, there's a browser war going on right now with agentic browsers, right? Getting more and more agents inside our browsers to make it convenient, right, for us to kind of do some things. That's got to be driving some of that memory use, right? That some of that stuff's got to be getting pushed, because I don't know about you, I don't have any, I'm not running anything but browsers at this point. It's consuming 16 gig of RAM.
We've also got a lot of inefficient websites that have been homegrown that, you know, are sucking up memory too. The Copilot Plus PCs that you'll see, like, them talk about a lot, they're Copilot Plus because they have an NPU that does 40 tops, and the goal is to eventually start offloading a lot of that processing onto the NPU to free up the CPU. And that's where you're going to see in the next few weeks, the middle of next month, I'm going to Ignite, and they're going to be, I expect that's the Microsoft's yearly event. I expect them to be talking a lot of AI there. It's a little quiet right now, and in a few weeks you're going to see a lot.
I got some clarification in the chat. Secret is the way. That's where it makes sense now that he explained it to me in the chat. Let me bring that up.
Oh, yeah. Sequence squirrel.
Squirrel, right. Yeah, okay. Makes sense now. Appreciate you being patient with me, you know, on that one. But paying homage to Kachovsky's Secret Squirrel. So appreciate you checking in on that. Let's talk. I threw out the concept, 2 weeks ago, solo show was like, hey, what are you using local AI for? Right. This was kind of the thing. It's gotten really good. There's a lot of it available. It doesn't run on low end hardware. This is one of those things. You're not going to take a 7-year-old laptop and make this thing run. Your thoughts. I mean, you've been doing this. Are you running it local? You find any use for that? Talk a little bit about that.
So I do run local LLMs. I run Ollama locally on my server. Mm-hmm. But I do also use, the OpenAI stuff. Right. And I have a subscription to that. Sometimes it's better. They come out with newer features. It does a lot still that the local stuff can't do. And what I was mainly at first, I did buy some hardware for it. So I bought a dedicated video card for just that, the AI stuff. And I have that in my server. Again, I mentioned it earlier. It's the NVIDIA Tesla T4. So it's got 16 gigs of memory in it. It's not like your traditional where you plug it in. It's just dedicated for this type of thing. So I use it like that a lot. Now, when I first was playing with it, I integrated it into Home Assistant. And mainly it was for my notifications on my cameras, right? So when my camera was triggered, it would take a picture, send it off to the Ollama and ask it to describe what's in the picture. And then, I'd get a push notification. I modified it so that at first it'll send an instant push notification. Hey, someone's at your front door, for example, right? Then it would do all the AI stuff and then come back and then it would send another push. But the push isn't a second notification. It would update the original notification, right? Because you can do that in Home Assistant on iOS. So it would send a second push, and it would change from, hey, somebody is at your front door, to, hey, there's a guy in a hoodie, grabbing your front door handle. It might be important. Yeah, exactly. Right? So that just made it so I got the notification faster, but then I got an updated notification afterwards with more descriptive description in it. So that's what I first used it for.
It's a really good coding device, right? I mean, you do a lot of coding with Home Assistant. Are you finding local better than in the cloud, or is vibe coding in the cloud better than locally? Or, I mean, local gives you the ability for some local security, right?
Yeah.
Everything's not, I know. So talk, how do you feel about that? How do you separate those two?
It's very hard. The thing with Ollama, you get to choose from a lot of models. So they have models dedicated.
It's almost overload, right? Sometimes, yes. Like, which do I choose from? Then you got to read up on all of them. It's a lot.
Yeah. So that's the nice part. But sometimes I feel like, I'm not really a coder. I'm more of a scripter, right? Seth from Home Tech, he's a coder. And what he's been showing me has been insane. And we can go into that after because it's just crazy. But I use VS Code for my coding, and recently they released an update. Like, they had GitHub Copilot built in, but the free version, you are limited and stuff. They just released an update where you can use your own models and everything. So then I tied it into Ollama. So now I kind of like vibe code sometimes. So I get it started, and then interactively I can ask it, create a method to do this or update this method so that it does this instead of that, and it gives me all the code and stuff like that, right? It saves me a lot of time because I mess around in a bunch of different languages. Right, so sometimes I get them mixed up or I can't remember the syntax, or it shows me how to do something more efficiently, because I'll even ask it, let's do a code review, and it will step through my code and it will say, hey, there's could possibly be an issue here, you might want to do this, and we do that type of stuff. So it's come a long way, and it's really cool to be coding like this.
Yeah, one of the things, if you've been listening to the shows, I've been doing a solar setup here, right? And the other day I got a couple more panels, and then I started saying, hey, here's an update. I got 6 more panels, and I'm thinking about doing this on this device with these things. What do you think? Just kind of like, what do you think? And, generally this was ChatGPT that was doing this. And so generally they're super nice to you, right? And I've always been super suspicious. Like, is it really gonna, and you know, is it gonna really tell me the truth? And it was like, oh, I kind of gave it, you know, this, these specs. Then it was like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, and here's why, here's why. Right. And it was like, it laid out like, hey, your open voltage is too much. You could, it could damage the battery. If it gets too cold, you're fine now. But once it starts getting cold, you could run into this problem with it. It's like, you might, here's a couple options to try on doing this. And it was super helpful. Like, I immediately went out and disconnected stuff. Like, it wasn't, I wasn't worried about harming it right then, but I did find it for setups like that. And I would imagine, you know, thinking about hardware and like, hey, I want to run an Unraid server and I want to, I'm going to run these things on it. And I want it to do these kinds of things. Give me three configurations that you think are the, that, that would be the smartest or most efficient, or you, you could even go like, I care about power or I don't care about power. You know, some of those kinds of things. Have you been using it at all for that kind of configuration? I mean, it works great on the code side for sure, but have you thought about configuration setup or any of those kinds of things?
I use it a lot. Like, this thing, it's scary what it probably knows about me. And it always surprises me when it references something. Like, it says, well, I know you run Unraid, so I recommend this, this, and this. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, that's awesome, right?
Yeah.
But you have to learn how to interact with these things, I find. Don't take their answers, you know, right off the bat as this is truth. You have to have a conversation with it and drill down a bit more, and you'll find that, yes, it will change some of the answers or correct itself or stuff like that. And you'll get to a point where it's like, all right, this sounds all right. You know, this sounds right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I find about it. It's also sometimes not the most up-to-date information too, right? So sometimes I'm using it to help me troubleshoot stuff, but it's referencing old versions of the program I'm in, right? So I got to now figure out where that has moved to or what file I got to edit and stuff like that. So, you know, I know we expect a lot of it now, and I think we will get there. We're still very early, but you got to learn how to talk with these things, I find, and you'll get good results.
I've been talking a lot about AI bubbles lately. And as we think about these, all these companies, you know, the hardware companies are giving the software companies credits, and those credits are coming back for them to buy more hardware. And you're like, that's counting the same thing twice, right? Kind of thing. You know, and you're like, when does that bubble kind of end? Certainly we're in the heyday. This is a little bit like AOL discs being free, right? Back when the internet got started. Are you worried at all about like when this bubble does burst, and it's going to burst, it won't go completely away, right? All the level 3 communications cable that we laid in 2000, we're using it now, right? It's being used right now. You worry at all about this stuff and what could be left in the aftermath of a bubble
bursting, so to speak? I don't think it's really going to disappear. I think this is going to be with us for a while. And I think I was just talking to somebody about this today. When it comes down to, I think, quantum computing, if they ever figure that out, and they could reduce the power usage and increase the speed, et cetera, you know, like AI will just get better and better. I did read an article recently, you know, I had some thoughts about it, but one thing it said is like, The AI is trained off of the internet, right? And now we're at the point where like 30 to 40% of the internet is written by AI. So
true. We talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now you're going to get in that cycle of what's it training on and is it the valid data and stuff. So I think it's going to be with us for a while because I see a lot of the background stuff in the enterprise that it's being used for. And there's some valuable stuff there that it can do so much faster than a person could. You know, unfortunately, there's going to be probably job losses and stuff. We're going to see some of that. But, you know, it's not going to go away. It's the guys at the top making the decisions.
No, for sure. And I think as I've talked about the bubble bursting, the stuff never completely goes away.
Yeah. Right?
There's always remnants of some of it left. You know, I kind of wonder, I was listening to somebody just the other day, you know, what will happen to GPU prices when the demand just goes out? Because, you know, eventually everybody will pull in and the free money that's out there right now, the companies, the Microsofts, the Oracles, the Googles, the Amazons, the Facebook, right? The big five from that standpoint. They're the richest companies on the planet right now. So of course they can throw money at that, right? I mean, Microsoft could spend for the next 3 years what it's spending every quarter and still have money left over. But eventually stockholders, I mean, there's just not enough people on the planet to pay for these services at this point, right? And so eventually it's going to retract. And so I'm just kind of interested in, you know, I'm always just kind of interested in what that retraction, because that's really when the bubble bursts, it will retract, not go away. Yeah. It'll retract, right? And what that retraction looks like. Do things get more expensive? Do our subscriptions go from $20 to $50? Do we start seeing mergers, right? Do we start seeing them start to come together so that there's, because we know this for sure. Well, not maybe not for sure. There's still a, you know, but they'll consolidate to two and a third that's struggling, right? That's,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. That seems to be the model. That was kind of the OS model. That's kind of the, you know, that was the PC model. PCs kind of got down to two companies that were leading and a third that was struggling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Other thoughts? Any other thoughts
just,
on that?
If they figure out the, you know, they reduce the cost of the data centers, right? Because that's where a lot of the cost, I think, is the power to run the data center, to do all the computing. Sure. If they figure out how to reduce that, and I'm sure they're working on it, to like minimal, you know, then they will start making money off of it. They're throwing a lot of money into the data centers right now. And it would be nice if companies work together, you know, instead of everyone building their own data center, like let's like you build a single one that can be shared and, you know, like save some, but I know that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. The whole world's not Canada. We just don't all get along all the time, and
let's all be friends.
Free healthcare, everybody yeah. get free healthcare. It's not Canada, for God's sake.
I know.
You know, so I think we are coming up. We're coming up on some interesting times. This is one of those, yes. You know, for me, I lived through the original .com bubble, and I lived through the financial crisis of 2008. And I think we're in another one of those. I mean, the conditions are just perfect for this. And AI is coming along. And at some point, someone's going to blink. You know, Larry Ellison, although he's not really running Oracle anymore, but Satya Nadella or whatever is going to blink and go, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. And there'll be a panic, a run on those things. And the money will constrict. It won't go away. It'll just constrict some. And listen, eventually the math doesn't work the way it's working right now. You know, you're kind of like, carry the 2, 3, add the, oh, wait a minute. This math doesn't work out. So be interesting to see, you know, where it goes and how we do and some of those kinds of things. Do you find AI is helping you write what you're doing? I mean, it's certainly making you more efficient in writing stuff for Home Assistant and some of those kinds of things. Is it helpful in that space? It's really, really helpful in that space.
It is really helpful. And what Seth showed me, because he was actually a developer, but like they have agents, and I'm probably going to butcher this because I'm looking at what he was doing, and I was just blown away while at the same time confused. But it was like they have agents that are specialized in one little thing. So you have a junior software developer agent and a project manager agent and stuff. And then he would go in and describe the application, what he wanted to write, you know, and the project manager agent would step in and read it and summarize it, ask any clarification questions and stuff like that, and then pass it off to the junior developer. And then they'd have a code reviewer and all of these. So basically I looked at his screen and the output from all that going on looked like a Teams chat of a team of people developing because they actually said, okay, code is done. I'm passing it over to this guy and he reviews it and he does his thing. He says, oh, I found a bug here. Can you please check in? And it'll go back and forth a few times. And it's really crazy where it's going. And this is stuff we don't see, right? Like on the back end, the developers may play with this stuff, but you know, the other non-developers, we don't see this stuff. And that's where I see it's really valuable.
Yeah. Very, 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 very interesting. You know, it does some sleuthing on the web for me, where I can just give it a ton of data and say, go find all these things for me. And then
yeah,
walk away, grab some coffee, and I come back 5 minutes later and it's, you know, it's putting stuff out, do some clicks. And I think I'm still at a spot where some of the things that I do is dependent on me doing some clicks, but I think that's coming here soon. Yes. Where I don't have to do any of those things either. Just sit back, sip my coffee, have it do the work for me. And that's pretty cool stuff.
I mean, that's the time saver right there. If you like the other day, I used the agent to book a trip, like not book the trip, but plan the trip. And I gave it requirements of, hey, I want extra leg room. It's going to be on this after this Sunday, after this date next year, plan my itinerary. Let me know the cost, you know, everything. And you saw it for 25 minutes. I think it took it going to like Air Canada websites and going through the flights and gathering all the costs and everything. And it came back with everything. And I showed the wife, I said, this is what it did. And she was blown away. You know, it did our whole trip for us.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I think it's interesting times on some of those things. And I think it's, you know, it's scary and interesting all at the same time. Gavin, anything else new in your space or anything I missed on the notes that you still want to cover along that topic?
No, that's pretty much it. I think we got through a lot of it.
We did. Amazing, right? Amazing.
Awesome.
Secret Squirrel said, let's see, we're going back. I did want to highlight this. He says, did your daughter follow through on getting a journalism degree? You know, we have Sammy on the program the Friday after Thanksgiving here in the United States. So that's coming up here at the end of November, which she was interested in a few years ago. If so, does she cover technology? If so, any content links for her work? And then, so Sammy will be back on. She didn't actually, she has a new career. And she's working in library science. She's back at school. Started a school back again here at the beginning of this year, and she'll be coming on that Friday. We'll actually be early, so I'm going early because she has a D&D game that night. She's playing with her friends and she hates to miss that, so we may be like 6 p.m central on that Friday after Thanksgiving. I think that's the let's see what date that is. I don't know what. Get to the end of November here, and I don't know what that is. And of course, the calendar. Where's the calendar in? Oh, where'd the calendar go? So that will be the 28th, Friday, November 28th. Sammy will be on. We'll catch up with her. She has a lot of updates going on. Start a new job, working back towards school, getting that. But in the new library science degree stuff, she is doing quite a bit of journalism. I mean, she's writing and doing some stuff with it. So it's working pretty well. Gavin, anything, what's going on? Hometech.fm. I failed to mention that in the very beginning. What's going on over there at hometech.fm?
Yeah. On the podcast, you know, every week we have stuff, we talk about our projects and stuff, but we're most excited right now. The three of us are all going to, well, me and TJ, Seth's playing hard to get. I think he'll be there though.
What's new?
Yeah. Come on. I know. But we'll be at CES in January. So we got a B&B that we'll be staying at. We booked our flights. And we'll be meeting up with a whole bunch of content creators. We'll be there. So sweet. You know, it's gonna be a nice time. I mean, you should come out, Jim, like that. They have a content creator get together. I get to meet, I know I'm gonna be meeting like Paulus from Home Assistant, and Frank will be there, you know, like whole bunch of people I'm excited to meet. So we're looking forward to that.
Good. Well, safe travels as you go out there to CES. You're going to get sick, right? You get the
CES. I'm nervous about that. You know, I was thinking just booking a one way and then letting the country export me back, you know, for free. I don't know, but I'll stay out of trouble.
can you enter the country from Canada? Aren't we?
I have a Nexus card. I have a Nexus card. So, I mean, they've approved my Nexus card. I renewed it last month. So they're cool with me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Travel's still a little difficult for me right now. If leaning forward or sitting up, like I'm starting to sweat. I've been sitting up and sitting back in the show, and it's a little painful. I got to get this thing figured out. So yeah. I was getting better, and then in the last week, it kind of went backwards. I'm gonna go see. I think I'm gonna get a massage and see if I can, like, if that helps any to get that kind of worked out. If not, I may go see an advanced chiropractor, and then I'll go see the doctor. So it'll be, I tell you what, getting old sucks, man.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't it suck? It's just horrible.
I've never woken up with an injury so many times in my life, you know?
What did I do last night?
I don't know what happens when I'm sleeping, but when I wake up, I'm tired and I have to take a nap.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's old age.
Well, and you know, during the pandemic, I mean, let's be clear. I drank a lot more in the pandemic than I did before the pandemic. And then I was like, why am I so tired all the time? It's like, 'cause you're putting poison in your body, you jackass. So, you know, there's that, like it hasn't been, you know, there's some nights you're like, oh, I mean, tonight I've got a whiskey out here tonight. And you know, you're kind of, oh, this tastes pretty good. So, I don't know. Who knows? So we'll have to, we'll get there. We'll get there here towards the end. Gavin, thanks for, as always, thanks for coming on. Can you hang around for a second?
Of course.
We close this up and we'll do maybe a little bit of a post show. A couple reminders on the way out. If you want to join our Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord, you can always send me a message, jim@theaverageguy.tv. And then don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform. Both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. And you know that's Christian. Check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. He's got hosting plans, I think, still as little as $10 a month. So check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. Gavin, you're 661. Next week, Schoonover is on, 662, if you want to join us for that. The week after that, 663, Erin Lawrence is coming on with Uyghur. And so we'll have the band back. She asks me every time she comes on. She's like, is Mike ever going to join us again? And so I got Mike to come back with Erin.
Lucky.
I'm working on Dave McCabe. So I'm hoping he can come on the 20th. So we got him scheduled for the 20th, 28th is Sammy. She'll be here. That's a Friday, not a Thursday. And then Christian's coming on the 4th. So we got a full slate lined up. Come out and join us live. Secret Squirrel, thanks for coming out tonight. I saw Brian. Dan Lefebvre was checking in as well. Dan, good to see you. Joe checked in a little bit earlier. I think I saw Tony hanging out there. Tony, no John. No John Biggs. I even mentioned John Biggs, and he didn't show up tonight. What a slacker. What he was maybe Gavin, he was on Entertainment 2.0. Maybe he's too big for us now.
Yeah, he's made it big time now. Yeah.
It was great. It was a good episode. If you haven't listened to that in a while, check it out. Josh and Richard are still doing a bang-up job over there. And, of course, check out hometech.fm as well. And you hear Gavin every single week hanging out with Seth, allegedly, and TJ. TJ's doing okay. He's doing all right. I know he always says he comes in behind you on this show, but TJ's doing a bang up job. When are you guys? You're not live. You're not doing anything live, right?
No, we pre-record. It's very hard to schedule our, you know, they were kind of mad because we usually record at this time and I double booked them. So they were a little mad at me for it, you know? So
I'm in trouble. You got me in trouble. I'm sorry.
No, you're safe. I'll take the heat. I'll take the heat. I'll be like, it's my fault, guys.
Tell TJ I'm sorry. Seth. Nah.
Yeah. Seth's over it by now. I gave Seth some work to do, so hopefully it kept him busy.
Are you recording after this, or are they waiting for you?
No. So the nice part about our show is Seth is such a slacker that we have some shows he still has to edit and post. So I just said, can you please post one of the shows that we've recorded already? You know? We're lucky like that. Jim, every time you post your show, like the day after,
I
point it out to Seth. I go, oh, look, the new Average Guy TV Home Gadget Geeks is out. You know, that was so fast.
Man, how does he do it? Listen, I'm pretty regimented. Like, I even, you know, Friday, so I'll download it tonight when we're done. And then Friday, by the time I go to bed, it's produced, uploaded to the various, and then show notes are started. And then Saturday morning, I wake up. do the show notes prior to Ask the Podcast Coach, and then it's done. Like, I do all my things, then I can do Ask the Podcast Coach and don't have to worry about posting the show. So Seth, get it done. Seth, yes. Come on. Jeez, he's a good guy.
Yes.
We are live Thursdays, and I gave you the whole rundown there. Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv live. Thanks for coming out tonight. If you're listening to the podcast version of it, come out and join us live here in the next couple weeks. We'd love to have you. Thanks for coming out tonight. With that, we'll say goodbye.